Sonia from Uncle Vanya by Anton Chekhov. He didn't say anything. His heart and mind are still hidden from me. So why do I feel so happy? You're refined, I told him. You're noble. You're gently spoken. It wasn't the wrong thing to say, was it? His voice is so vibrant and caressing. I can hear it lingering in the air. But when I said that about my youngest sister, he didn't understand. Oh, what a terrible thing it is that I'm not beautiful. What a terrible thing. Because I know I'm not beautiful. I know. Last Sunday, as everyone was coming out of church, I heard people talking about me, and one woman said, "She's good-hearted and kind, but it's a pity she's so plain." Plain! From Under Milkwood by Dylan Thomas. Me, Mrs. Dye Bread One. Capped and shawled and no old corset. Nice to be comfy. Nice to be nice. Clogging on the cobbles to stir up a neighbour. Ooh! Mrs. Sarah, can you spare a loaf, love? Dye Bread forgot the bread. There's a lovely morning. How's your boils this morning? Oh, isn't that good news now? It's a change to sit down. Ta, Mrs. Sarah. Me, Mrs. Dyebread too. Gypsy to kill in a silky scarlet petticoat above my knees. Dirty, pretty knees. See my body through my petticoat, brown as a berry. High-heel shoes with one heel missing. Tortoise-shell comb in my bright black slinky hair. Nothing else at all but a dab of scent. Lolling gaudy at the doorway. Tell your fortune in the tea leaves. Scowling at the sunshine. Lighting up my pipe. From Cider with Rosie by Laurie Lee. Granny Trill's cottage door was always open, and her living room welcomed us daily. Not that she could have avoided us anyway, for she lay at our nimble mercy.
You room, Granny Trill? You in there, Gran?
Of course. Where else would she be? We heard her creaking sigh from within.
Well, I'll be bound. That you varmints again?
We come on a visit, Gran.
Just mind them pots, then, or I'll cut you to pieces.
What you doing, Gran?
Just bidin' still. Just bidin' and coomin' me bits.
You going bald, Gran?
I still got me bits. It's coming out. No, it ain't. Look at that dead stuff dropping out of your comb. That's healthy. It makes room for more.
Paula from The Positive Hour by April De Angelis.
Well, I did it. I drank neat vodka, then I taped a note to my door which said, "It's over, love, Paula." Then I hid. Mastermind. Only I never closed my window. 2 a.m, I wake up and he's looming over me. "Sod you, Paula," he said. "Sod you, Michael," I said. That went on for a bit. I said, "I'm sorry, Michael, but what can I do? I have to demonstrate my desire to provide a good home for my daughter." He tried snogging. It didn't work. Well, it did for about 2 minutes, but anyway. Cut to me an hour later. More vodka had been swilled. More tears had watered the ashtray. I was doing it. Finally, I took the tape note off the door and stuck it on my forehead. I said, "Michael, it's not that I don't think you're a decent bloke underneath, but who's got a spade big enough to shove him off all the shit?" This morning I woke up. I lay there for a bit, just listening to the sounds coming in the window. And I thought, this is nice.
Lorna from Cigarettes and Chocolate by Anthony Minghella. I used to cry. Sometimes I would go in and I would cry for 45 minutes. And really, the whole 45 minutes. And she would sit and make sympathetic noises. Sympathetic clucks, you know, while I cried. And then the alarm clock would ring and it would be finished. But you'd be very good, Jem. Because you have the eyes. You have the eyes. Do you just sit here all day? What are you doing with yourself? Are you reading? What, writing? I thought of writing to you. I thought it would be quieter. I had this theory perhaps the silence was connected with noise. I know you're sensitive to noise and music, and
I love this.
Is it? What is it? Is it Bach? So I thought it might just be that you wanted some peace.
Danielle, from Tone of Pandemonium, by Rachel Trezise.
Mam, can I have some money? I'm running out of paper. I need to finish this project for school. I need it now. It's homework. I gotta finish it before I go back to school on Monday.
Oh, how much is a pad anyway? It's cheaper than a pair of stockings.
But you gotta have your stockings, haven't you?
I'd get a paper round, but you won't let me. Reckon I'll get molested.
It's not that, though, is it? You just want to have total control over me. You don't want me to have any money. Oh, it's only paper I want, Mum. It's not like I'm asking for money for the school skiing trip or my first new uniform in 2 years or a bottle of vodka. £2 flipping for a flipping drawing pad so I can actually pass my exam.
From Some Retired Ladies on a Tour by Claire Boylan.
There's a man,
Alice said.
She's with a man.
She scrubbed the bus window with a bunched up brown stretch glove. May sat down heavily beside her, still probing a blasted peppermint. She leaned forward, her menthol breath ruining all Alice's work on the glass. They could make him out through the window mist, a tall, pale figure, his garments worried by wind and rain. Mrs. Nash was holding his hand. The thing that bothered them speechless was an aspect of his stance that was a confirmation of youth. They couldn't see him properly, but he was definitely young.
"She's a nothin'," May said. "She's nothin' but trash."
Mama, from A Raisin in the Sun by Lorraine Hansberry.
"Rat trap. Yes, that's all it is.
I remember just as well the day me and Big Walter moved in here.
Hadn't been married but 2 weeks and wasn't planning on living here no more than a year. We was gonna set away, little by little, don't you know, and buy a little place out in Morgan Park. We had even picked out the house. Looks right dumpy today. But Lord, child, you should know all the dreams I had about buying that house and fixing it up, making me a little garden in the back. And didn't none of it happen?